1924, the once smooth, slender throat of Constance Hallam was 78 years old. The diamonds, unscathed by time, awaited their new owner, her grandson, Julius, who would, according to family tradition, present the necklace to his bride on their wedding day. An event which Constance prayed for, but everyone deemed unlikely.
Quinze noir, 15 black.
My lucky night, Ollie.
What, no more?
That's it.
Good night to Mr. Hallam.
Good night.
Whoever says good night to me, little shit.
It's not your money we're playing with. Cash these in, will you? I'll go on through to the bar.
I thought you'd booked a table at the Rockingham.
No.
So why are we leaving?
I'm not.
But...
That's Gwen's last number.
Since when has that stopped you? She can join us.
I want to see her alone, Oliver.
Oh, I see. Well, good night, Ollie. I'm sure she'll say yes, gold-digging little tart.
Isn't she? Makes me laugh, though. And she's very pretty.
What would you know?
Ollie.
You can cash your own bloody chips.
Don't be upset. It's the way life is, family and all that. Nothing will change. You and me, we'll still have our fun. We'll go to the Rockingham tomorrow. Just the two of us.
Laughing at danger, virtue a stranger, better take care. The life you lead sets all your nerves a jangle. Your love affairs are in a hopeless tangle. Oh, you're a child, dear. Your life's a wild typhoon. In light of leisure, the craze for pleasure steadily grows.
Diamonds by John Peacock. Play 2, The Diamond Jousts.
Taxi! Taxi!
Where are we going?
Bond Street!
I know you don't mean it, but you could at least try to be a little romantic.
Oh, we're in a taxi, for heaven's sake.
Well, there you are. Oh, you're such a tit, Julius.
Anyway, I do mean it.
So why do you want to marry me?
I'm very fond of you.
Oh, and I'm very fond of you. What sort of a reason is that? Besides, I'm not your sort at all.
And what's my sort?
Oliver is. And even then you're slumming
it. But I can't marry Ollie.
So you're asking me? We're friends, Julius. We're friends. If I say yes, you'll only regret it in the morning.
No, I won't.
Oh,
I want to marry you.
Oh, you want to get married. There's the difference.
Yes, but I wouldn't ask anyone else but you.
Father wants a grandchild, does he?
Something like that.
The diamonds in the family. But I don't love you.
If you did, it wouldn't work. It'd be a good life, Gwen. You'd have everything you want. And shake up the family rednecks now and then. You'd enjoy that.
You are rich, aren't you?
Yes.
I mean, really rich. Rich, rich.
Stinking. Oh. Well, fairly. We do have fun, Gwen.
Yes, we do.
I can't imagine a woman I'd rather spend the rest of my life with.
Oh, all right.
You will?
Yes.
I'll call my solicitor in the morning.
Your solicitor?
Well, we want to know exactly where we stand, don't we? What to expect from each other. And confidentiality and all that. We don't want to be under any illusions, either of us.
And neither of them were. Mr. Hockley of Hockley Hall and Robinson was assigned to draw up an agreement, which he did meticulously. It was a long, complicated document with many clauses. There were two main grounds on which the marriage could be terminated without the consent of both parties. One, if at the end of 3 years Gwen had not provided Julius with an heir. Or two, if on the first day of any two consecutive months during that first 3 years Gwen did not receive a stipulated sum of money from her husband. In either of these cases, should there be a divorce, there would be no settlement. Gwen could claim nothing from Julius, but would leave the marriage as unprovided for as she entered it. The contract was kept from Julius's family, but of course the marriage could not be.
Is this some terrible joke?
No, Nan, it isn't.
And she sings for a living.
Yeah, forgive me for saying so.
Nightclubs.
But I mean really, Mother, Julius is marrying the girl, not her occupation.
Since when has a Hallam married anyone with an occupation? When I married your father, it was love, yes, real love. But also a marriage of social equals, of businesses. A marriage that enriched both families. Have you seen your future sister-in-law, Cora?
No.
Yes, you have.
Well, only briefly.
And what did you think?
It doesn't matter what Cora thinks.
Cora?
As I said, I haven't seen her much.
It doesn't matter what any of you think.
Please be quiet,
you
Julius.
You wanted me to get married. I'm getting married.
What's she like?
Well, she's very pretty. Lively, you'd say.
Lively? And what of her family?
She hasn't any.
Oh, well, there you are.
Perhaps if you met her yourself, Mother.
No, I can picture her very clearly.
The wedding is set for the 3rd of January.
You've given it your blessing, then?
Julius is 25. He can do as he likes. But if it's what he wants, well, yes.
And 6 weeks? Why so soon?
It's the latest I can leave for Cape Town. If the Calabar becomes law, someone's got to find white replacements for all the black overseers of Kimberley. Father and Uncle George put them in. It's left to me to get them out.
Your father did what was right at the time.
Anyway, Julius wants the wedding sooner rather than later.
And we want Father there.
Where will you live?
Hampstead. Julius is taking over the lease from me. It's too big anyway since Antonia died. Cora and I will move to Chelsea. Somewhere smaller, till she gets married.
Well, I can't pretend that I'm happy.
I don't want you to pretend anything.
No. Help me into the library. I want to speak to you alone.
You really don't have to do this, Grandmother.
Yes, I do. This collar, Julius, was given to me by your grandfather as a wedding present 53 years ago. They're the first diamonds he brought back from Kimberley. It became your father's when he married your mother and was returned to me on her death. Now, as the eldest son, it's yours to give to your wife on her wedding day.
You could let Cora have it. I'm sure you'd rather.
It's not what I want that matters. It's what Edward... What your grandfather would have wanted. They were his diamonds, and they represent everything that our company and our family stand for. A symbol of honesty and of the love that your father bore for me. Whatever she may be, Julius, and whatever your reasons for this marriage, try to give Gwen at least the respect a wife deserves.
Yes, Grandmother.
And I hope for her sake... She doesn't love you.
What are they doing, Ollie? Do you know? Stopping in town or going straight on to Monte?
Straight on to Monte?
Funny place to honeymoon. It'll be freezing this time of year.
There's the casino.
Well, yes, but...
They've got to do something.
Not what we choose.
Well, of course. You're to next, Jamie. Have you set the date?
Late next year. Cora decided.
This one will be over by then.
I'm sure Julius doesn't think so.
No, but a 250 quid wager with him.
Never could resist a bet, could you, Ollie?
Gwen. Quiet little thing. Didn't see you there.
I hope you didn't. Jamie, if Julius comes looking for me, tell him I've gone outside for a breath of clean air, will you?
Here you are.
Oh, Cora.
Is anything the matter?
No, it can be better. It's so hot in there. Really hot, hot. I'm looking for Julius.
So's father. He's waiting for you two to go before he can set off. He gets very anxious. We haven't had much of a chance to get to know each other, have we? With everything happening so quickly. Still, I know we will, later. Hampstead's not that far from Chelsea. And we are sisters... In law, anyway.
Yes.
You haven't met Catherine, have you?
Catherine?
Gwenny?
Grandmother's wedding present.
What? No, I...
You get a move on, darling. Father wants to see you, and the taxi will be here in a mo.
I'll leave you to it, Mrs. Hallam. The family necklace looks very well on you.
Yes.
Confetti, Ollie?
I won't if you don't mind.
Suit yourself.
Damn stuff gets everywhere.
Bye, Ollie.
Julius?
Why is the diamond in the middle not as sparkly as the others?
It's a light cape.
What's that?
Didn't hear.
What's a light cape?
Inferior. Not a very good one.
So why is it in the middle?
I don't know. Because, well, that's where my grandfather wanted it.
Can't we do a swap?
No.
Oh, Julius. From all the diamonds you dig up every year, there must be a better match.
It's an heirloom. You don't bugger about with heirlooms. Not allowed.
Well, I shan't wear it, then. I'll put it in the hotel safe.
Wear it tomorrow at the casino.
Oh, the casino.
Sure, we mean business. Hey, you don't come to Monty for the beach. Mind you, the seawater's probably hotter than that shower. What are you doing? Is everything all right?
Of course it is. I just thought I should lock the door. Show that we mean business.
Oh.
Only joking.
Lighter?
Yes.
Mm. Oh, I can't see a thing now.
You are funny.
Ow! Am I?
You are.
Ah, here I am. Snug as a bug. Mm. Well, two bugs, eh?
Julius.
Night, Gwen. Get to know the place tomorrow, eh? You're all right, aren't you?
What?
Oh, you're all right. You've had a good day.
Yes, it's been lovely, truly.
Nothing's upset you?
No.
And you're not bothered, are you? You know, not doing it tonight.
No, I'm fine. Today I have everything I've ever wanted.
Good, good.
Haven't I? Absolutely fine.
Faites vos jeux, messieurs. Faites vos jeux. Rouge.
Julius, who's Catherine?
Catherine?
Cora said she was a wedding present from your grandmother.
Oh, God, Kathy, yes. Kathy Bridges. What did she tell you that for? It's meant to be a surprise. Grandmother thought it would be a good idea for her to leave Mount Street and come over to us. And show you the ropes. How to run a house, you know, the sort of thing.
Keep an eye on us. More that sort of thing.
Not at all.
And does she mind?
What?
Being a present.
Good Lord, no, she's a servant. I shouldn't think so.
I would.
She's well paid.
And money buys everything.
She wouldn't join us if she didn't want to. Nobody's forcing her. Probably glad to get away from Nan. Oh, poor baby, you're shivering. Why don't you go on in? I'll join you later.
Why? What are you doing?
I want to be alone for a while.
Oh.
You shouldn't ask. And then I don't have to lie.
I'll see you soon, then. Whenever. Everything will be all right, won't it?
Don't be such a silly. You just have to learn the rules. Make a life for yourself.
Yes.
Over here! Julius!
Ollie!
Thought you were never coming.
As if.
Just plunk them down there. I'll unpack later.
Yes, Mrs. Allen.
God, I need a drink. Let me look at you. I thought you'd at least be wearing a silver bow.
I'm sorry?
Well, you're supposed to be a present, aren't you?
Oh, I see.
How old are you?
24 next.
23? Well, same as me. What's through here?
The nursery.
And beyond that?
Mr. Hallam's room.
Ah, of course. Do you like being in service?
I can't say I like it or dislike it.
So why are you?
It would seem ungrateful to Mrs. Hallam not to be. My grandmother and my mother were both housekeepers for her. She's not as bad as she seems, you know. Whatever people say.
Oh, really?
She's always been very good to us.
There are no free meals with the Hallams. Now, Catherine, if you're going to stay here, I want you to look upon me, not as your employer, more as a friend, yes?
A friend? Well, I don't think Mrs. Hallam would approve.
It's what I want.
But Mrs. Hallam's paying me.
No, I haven't told her yet. But if you stay, I shall be paying you.
To be a friend?
To do all the things you do now. To help me to run the house.
Excuse me for saying so, but is the difference worth the upset?
Oh, yes.
I mean, what is the difference?
You won't have to be grateful, and you can leave any time you want.
Oh.
But as I'm paying you, and as you're my friend, your loyalty's to me.
Yes, Mrs. Hallam.
Do you like jazz? Oh, and you must call me Gwen.
Yes, Miss Gwen.
Now, let's get the house the way I want it.
And so they did.
Poor little rich girl, don't drop a stitch too soon.
With no expense spared, the fawns, the whites and the pastels of Julius's family home lost the battle with Gwen's crimson and gold. Only the eggshell boy blue of his childhood remained in the nursery, signifying the hopes and aspirations of the Hallam family. On the 29th of June, 1925, Julius made the forbidding journey from his bedroom across that no-man's land to Gwen's bedroom, where, with very little passion and a great deal of brandy, he finally consummated his marriage. On the same day in South Africa, the Calabar became legal, an event that was to be a turning point in the Hallam family fortunes. For once, the Hallam mines were silent as the black supervisors left their work to be replaced by whites, and Thomas visited the grave of his father.
Mr. Hallam.
What?
Sorry, Mr. Hallam, or didn't mean to startle you.
Who are you? Mike Glass.
Daniel.
I see.
Daniel Schumann.
Yes.
I'd love to speak with you.
I have to get back to Kimberley.
I'll go with you, after we have talked. Besides, it's not safe for you to ride back alone. The people are very angry.
Very well. It's the first time I've visited my father's grave. It's very beautiful here.
This land belonged to my family once. As much land as my grandfather could ride around in one day. That was the way the land was allocated to the Afrikaners. Until you British discovered diamonds. I sometimes ask myself why your father wanted to be buried here.
Because he loved Africa so much.
You think so? Could anyone who loved Africa do what he and others like him have done to it and its people? You took the Afrikaner farms from them and forced the blacks to work for you. And now you have no further use for us. You take away our work. The Calabar!
Well, not I, Mr. Schumann.
Is it because you have no further use for us? Or because you are afraid of us?
It is the law.
You will pay, Mr. Hallam.
What?
For over 60 years you have sat by your fireside in England, ignoring the misery you have caused here, reaping the rewards of our exploited labors. You have to face the truth, the fruits of your arrogance that you have brushed aside for too long. Read these papers, Mr. Hallam, here by your father's grave. It's time to pay the price.
It's no good, Jamie. I can't come with you. Nan's had a letter from Father in Africa. She's really upset.
What's happened?
I don't know. He didn't say much, but he's on his way back. Probably nothing, but you know what she's like. Any upset in Kimberley upsets her.
So the theatre's off?
It needn't be. Take Gwen with you.
Gwen?
She never goes out. No, Nanette, she'd love it, you know she would. Julius doesn't take her anywhere.
I bought the tickets for you and me.
You're just a snob. It's about time someone did something nice for her.
What would people say?
They'd say, what a kind and thoughtful person you were.
They would?
Taking out your future sister-in-law when her husband cares so little for her.
Cora, surely you understand, don't you?
What?
Julius and Gwen.
What about them?
It's the way it is. They do things separately, but they get on very well. Gwen's very happy.
That's not how it seems. Is it? Not to me. I don't want you out all the time when we're married. Please, Jamie, do this. For Gwen. For me.
Oh, let's eat. This has been the best night out I've had for ages.
It has?
I want to eat.
But...
somewhere where we can dance. Oh, come on. Don't be such a stick in the mud. You said Cora won't mind, and Julius couldn't care less.
I can't,
Gwen. Don't spoil it.
Better look for a taxi.
Well, you can do what you please. I'm starving.
Oh, be sensible.
You can dance with any girl at all.
You can't go somewhere alone.
Well, come with me then.
But
so just forget me and act as though you never met me. Taxi! I will be a flower on the wall.
This is ridiculous. I must be mad.
The Compton, please.
Gwen?
Oh, get in.
You were quiet in the taxi?
I was thinking of another taxi ride. Exactly a year ago. Seems ages now.
Who was that with?
Julius.
And what made it so special?
It was going to get me everything I ever wanted.
Did it?
Yes. Well, everything I thought I ever wanted.
Where's Julius tonight?
With Ollie.
Oh, I thought...
What?
Nothing, I'm sorry.
No, no, go on. I do know.
Well,
everyone knows, even Constance. We just don't talk about it.
I thought Ollie had moved on.
Oh, I see. That Ollie's gone. The first Ollie Markham. He was indiscreet. That's one thing you'll learn about the Hallams. Doesn't matter what you do, as long as you cause no ripples. No, this is another Ollie.
I don't understand.
Ah, there'll always be an Ollie, Jamie. Umpteen Ollies and umpteen roulette wheels. Until the money runs out. But that's not likely to happen, is it? Diamonds are forever.
You sound as though you wish it would.
What? And say goodbye to all this? Don't be silly. Life is perfect. I just dance a little faster. Come on.
Oh.
Kathy, is that you?
Yes, Miss Gwen.
We have a visitor.
Oh?
Julius's father, back from Africa.
Shall I make some tea?
No, it's not me he wants to see, it's you. I said you could talk in the library.
Me? What's he want me for?
Well, I've no idea, but he's not very happy.
And you will realise then how important it is that for the time being, what I'm going to tell you must be kept very much between ourselves.
Yes, Mr. Thomas.
I decided to see you before anyone else. I want to be honourable, you see. Remember this, whatever happens, remember this, I want to be fair. Did you know that I was named Thomas after your grandmother's first husband, Thomas Thacker?
Yes, she told me.
He was my father's valet. Shows how much he thought of him, doesn't it?
Yes.
This is the copy of a document that was shown to me in Kimberley by Daniel Schoeman, a black South African whose father, Tabo, managed the first diamond mine for my father. It seems Thomas Thacker found a diamond and registered it as being discovered on his land. It's what's known as a light cape, and it weighed precisely 11.2 carats.
I don't understand.
I want you to come with me tomorrow morning. I've made an appointment at Hatton Garden.
But what's all this got to do with me?
If this paper is genuine, and if the diamond is the one I think it is, then together with some other documents in Daniel Schoeman's possession, there could be serious repercussions on my family.
Hatton Garden, Hatton Garden. Diamond Hatton Garden.
I suppose so, I'm not sure.
So? What's it all about?
I'm not to say anything, I promised. He just wants us to go there tomorrow morning.
Well, I don't know if that's convenient. Oh, of course you must go, silly. Take no notice of me.
1872?
Yes, sir. Late summer. It was commissioned by my father, Edward Hallam.
Here we are.
As a wedding gift for my mother.
And he provided the diamonds uncut?
Yes, five. They were brilliant cut by, Andreas Kieft himself, I think.
July the 14th. Yes, my uncle. These must be the original designs.
Please, may I?
It's the necklace Mr. Julius gave to Miss Gwen on their wedding day.
Do you have the details of the uncut diamonds?
Of course.
Particularly the larger stone that was used as the centerpiece.
The light K.
Could you tell me the weight of it? Uncut.
Of course. 11.2 carats.
So, the diamond in the necklace belonged to Thomas Thacker?
Yes. But maybe not just the necklace.
What else? There's more, isn't there?
Catherine.
Don't say anything. I'm late. I must get back.
I'll take you.
No. No, please. You don't have to. I'd rather you didn't. Mr. Hallam cheated him, didn't he? Mrs. Constance lied to my mother for years.
I'm having a meeting with Mr. Schoolman and the family on Thursday. I'll know more then.
If you say so.
I will. She may not have known. Whatever happens, I'll see that you get what's rightfully yours. Be kind to her.
All my life I've thought she was being kind to me.
Thursday.
Why should I cancel the party? Thomas is back. Constance clicks her fingers and everybody goes running.
It must be important.
Must it? You know more than you're letting on. Go anyway, to hell with it. People will be here soon. Help me on with this. Jamie will come anyway. I'm a bit partial to Jamie.
It's lovely.
Do you think so? The centre stone's rubbish, but Julius won't let me change it.
The light cape.
What?
It isn't rubbish, and it's called a light cape.
God, Catherine. One visit to Hatton Gardens and suddenly you're a diamond expert.
So, the allegation is that the Orange River diamond holdings were stolen by father from his valet.
It can't be true, can it?
Of course it can't.
I'm afraid...
It's ridiculous.
It might not be, Julius. He is on his way now to explain.
Explain? Well, there's nothing to explain. I don't know why you're giving him any credence at all. Tell him to bugger off. Let him take us to court.
I don't think that would be wise.
The man's obviously a liar.
Julius!
You know, some sort of racist revenge for us having to sack all his black relatives.
Look, whatever.
Ungrateful
Look,
bastard.
Whatever. It's in our best interests to hear him out. Mother?
I agree.
I don't.
Cora?
Perhaps we should listen to what he has to say. Please, Julius, it can't do any harm.
All right, I'll listen. I suppose forewarned is forearmed.
What time is he coming?
9 o'clock.
And it gives us, what, 15 minutes?
I think we ought to see him in the library.
I need a stiff drink.
I don't want you drinking while he's here. We should keep the meeting very formal.
Yes, Grandmother. Father?
No, not now.
Oh, please, Julius.
Only one? I'm not going to get pie-eyed.
I'll telephone Gwen.
He'll do nothing of the kind. Leave her out of this.
But I told Jamie we'd be there
by... I said leave it.
Please! Really, Julius.
Hello! Another outcast from the Hallam family gathering.
Julius not here either?
No.
What are they doing?
Oh, they don't tell me things like that.
Shh, Mount Street, with Constance. That's all I know.
But something's up. Catherine's all to pieces. I'll fill my glass, will you? Just family and some black man.
Oh, but, your family.
I suppose I am. Well, my name's Hallam. That's about all. Cuts no ice. Oh, if I'd have known he wasn't going to be here, I'd have made sure my list was invited and not his.
Oh.
Don't worry. You'd still be on it.
Would I?
Scraped through. So, when are you marrying Cora?
She's not decided yet.
But it's still on, is it?
As far as I know.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
What?
Oh, you'll be bored. Bored to death with their talk of diamonds. Marry for love, Jamie. It's all that matters. Oh, come on, dance. They say you're a gold digger, just like me.
Really, Gwen? I'm sure they don't say anything of the sort.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
If you say so.
Are you rich, then? I mean, rich.
Fairly.
Oh, fairly may not be enough.
Not after tonight.
Mr. Daniel Schumann, may I introduce my mother, Mrs. Constance Hallam, my son, Julius, and my daughter, Cora.
I'm pleased to meet you. My father, Thomas Schumann, managed the Orange River claims for your late husband, Mrs. Hallam, and then over the past 20 years for his brother.
Yes.
I'm here on my father's behalf.
Yes, my son has told me.
What is it that you want?
Revenge.
Tell us what you have to say.
In 1872, Edward and George Hallam sold Thomas Thacker a piece of land on the banks of the Orange River, which they thought worthless, on which to build a house. While digging out the foundations, he found a diamond. A few days later, while collecting tills from Kimberley, he was killed in a landfall. On the day Thomas was buried, Edward found the land sale agreement and a letter that he'd written to his wife, telling her of the purchase. Edward gave the documents to George to destroy, and together they claimed that no land sale agreement had been made and that the land was still theirs. It was with the proceeds from the diamonds of the Orange River that they bought other land claims. But George did not destroy the papers, and before he died, he gave them to my father, Tabo. These are the documents I have with me, together with the registration of that first light Cape diamond.
How much do you want for them?
What will you do if we don't give you what you ask?
I'm not asking anything, but justice for Thomas Thacker's family.
Blackmail.
It's not blackmail. Mr. Schumann can't blackmail us. I've already told Catherine.
What?
If anyone's going to ruin us, Julius, it may be her, but certainly not Mr. Schumann.
I apologize, Mrs. Hallam, for repeating in such detail such painful facts already known to you.
Oh, my mother didn't know, Mr. Schumann.
Please, Thomas. Mr. Schumann is quite correct in everything he says.
Your family and those like you destroyed our world, chased us from our land with your greed. Now I want your world to be destroyed.
Oh, it's so hot. I'm weak. Let's have another drink. Oh, get me out of here.
You can't leave, it's your party.
I don't mean leave. Just go upstairs for a minute.
But,
I know.
What?
Come on, and bring the bottle. There's no nursery without a baby. Tonight, it's for cloaks. Have you ever seen so many furs? Look at this. Mink. Do you know what I'd like to do?
What?
Use it as an ashtray. Stub my cigarette out on it.
Gwen?
Isn't it shocking? Look, it's gone all fuzzy. Oh, it smells horrid. Poo.
Whose is it?
No, I don't know. Some rich bitch. Well, I suppose I'm a rich bitch now. Come over here. Whoever it is won't even notice. They'll just buy another.
We'd better get back downstairs before we're missed.
I'd rather stay up here with you. Lock the door.
What?
Go on.
Why?
I want us to do it on Maud's chinchilla.
What? Gwen?
I don't know why you keep saying what.
You're stinker, you know that.
You heard me perfectly well the first time. Come on, light me another cigarette first. What's this?
Beaver.
No, boring. No fun in burning beaver. What about this?
Blue mink.
That'll do. Give me your lighter. There, rich bastard. Now come on, Jamie. Do me.
No.
Why not? I know you want to.
You know nothing of the kind.
Liar. Go on, lock the door.
There's someone coming.
And you better hurry up. I'm taking my shimmy off.
No.
There.
Stop it.
Come on, before I catch my death.
There's somebody outside. Put it back on.
No.
Keep quiet.
Not unless you come over here.
What's the matter? It's locked.
Right.
I'm sure there's somebody in there.
Oh, Jamie. Shh. But I want you.
We shouldn't be doing... Oh.
Now, shut up.
Oh, Gwen.
Come on, Jamie. I'm so unhappy. Please, let's.
Mother.
Oh. It's you, Thomas.
Julius and Cora are still in the library. Schoolman went some time ago.
I heard him.
Shall I close the curtains?
No. And don't put the light on. Looking at him, I wondered if he was at all like his father. Edward mentioned him many times. Tabu. A black name, but his family were Afrikaners.
Why didn't you tell me you knew?
We're finished, aren't we?
That depends on Catherine.
And what would you do in her place? I know what Julius would do.
How long have you known?
Your father told me shortly after we were married. He gave a party just before he left for Africa the second time. We were upstairs in the bedroom. I was wearing the necklace. It was appropriate, I thought. I asked him why he'd put the flawed stone in the centre when the others were perfect. He said it was so that every time he saw Thomas's diamond lying against my throat, he would be reminded of what our marriage had cost him. I asked what he meant by Thomas's diamond, and he told me. Our marriage was an alliance, you see, of sorts, between two families. If the diamond venture had been a failure, I doubt whether my father would have let us marry. So, although I tried to blame George for persuading him to do what he did, I can't help feeling it was my fault. Your father loved me so much. He allowed himself to be persuaded. I never wore it again, except for his funeral. I always looked after Millie and her family for him. They thought I was generous to a fault, but not really. It was just guilt. All my life.
Anyway, I'll see her tomorrow.
Kathy? Mr. Thomas is gone, then?
Yes.
So, what have you decided?
I'm leaving.
What? Now?
Tonight. I'm really sorry.
Well, so am I. But happy for you as well, of course.
Why on earth should you be happy for me?
Well, you're going to be very rich.
Depends how and when you become rich, doesn't it? You're rich, and I'm not happy for you. Anyway, Mr. Thomas thought it would be for the best under the circumstances. There's bound to be resentment and such. There's no point in staying on, making more problems.
But is that what you want?
He said that it would be for the best. He's been very good. He's found somewhere else for me to stay, and he'll pay my rent until everything's sorted out. The sooner the better, I suppose.
And will everything be sorted out?
Oh, yes. I don't want to do anything that will upset you. I know you will be upset, but I don't want you to be. You're not like them. But I'm full of hate.
Catherine.
I can't help it, but I am. When I worked for her, I did what I was asked. I had my food, somewhere to live. I never wanted for anything, I thought. I'd never known any other way of life. Never questioned anything. They were privileged and we were not. Since I've been with you, I've seen their only privilege is money. It buys everything, including people. It bought you, to give respectability to Julius. And now they're trying to buy me. And where did all this wealth, this privilege come from? From Thomas Thacker. From fraud. Well, one thing it won't buy them is a clear conscience. You can buy off others, but you can't buy off yourself. Mr. Thomas gave me the last letter that Thomas Thacker wrote to my grandma. She never saw it. They kept it from her because it mentioned the land he'd bought. She died not knowing what he was planning for them. Nothing of what he felt for her, what he was doing for her. And Mrs. Constance did know and said nothing. She just said nothing. I had to go.
I said you'd be under no obligation, didn't I, if you came to work for me?
Yes, you did.
Well, there is none, and there won't be any.
That's what makes it so difficult.
Do you know what you're going to do yet?
Mr. Thomas wants me to settle out of court.
Oh.
I'll take every penny, Mrs. Hallam. Every penny.
That night, Catherine packed her belongings and quietly left the Hampstead house for the last time to set about becoming rich. Meanwhile, Gwen, in her own way, set about preparing herself for what she saw as the inevitability of once more becoming poor.
Mr. Keith, I'd like you to make a piece of costume jewellery for me. A replica of this.
Ah, yes.
It's become much too valuable to wear as often as I'd like, and it's a worry to both my husband and myself.
I understand.
I'd also like you to remove the light cape diamond from the original necklace and replace it with an artificial stone.
Yes?
And I want you to put the genuine light cape in the centre of the replica.
And with the original necklace, would you like the light cape to be replaced with an artificial one that matched the other four?
No, a light cape. I want an exact copy. And I'd like you to send your account to me and not my husband.
That would be no problem.
As the third year of his marriage drew to its close, despite Julius's weekly visits across the nursery, he still had no child. But as Catherine's settlement was merciless, there was very little left for a Hallam child to inherit.
When people live together for a long time, they're bound to get to love each other in the end, don't you think? Julius?
Well, they'll get to love each other, maybe. But that's all.
But love is all. And if you love someone, you want to give them pleasure.
You really are such a twerp, Gwenny.
Oh.
People make love to give pleasure to themselves, not to others.
You and me, then.
Well, we don't love each other and we don't want to do each other. I want a baby. You want money. We haven't got either. And it doesn't really matter anymore.
I wish you wouldn't go now. You always leave me. Stay here. Just a night.
No.
Please.
If I don't make some money soon, you'll be able to divorce me. Is that what you want?
Oh, absolutely. I do have another life, you know.
I'm glad, but I don't want to hear about it. You've got to keep all your options open, Gwenny. Honestly. You may need them.
11 noir, 11 black.
Damn.
Faites vos jeux, mesdames, messieurs. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Good night, Mr. Allen.
Not yet. I'm coming back. Two, nine, four, seven, eight, three, six. All or nothing.
Julius, what are you doing?
Go back to bed. Don't worry, it doesn't concern you.
Yes, it does. What are you doing?
Where's the necklace?
I've moved it.
You've no business to. Where is it?
Somewhere safe. I want to be sure that Catherine gets it. It's not mine. Not anymore.
Oh, don't be silly. It was given to you in good faith.
By your grandmother.
It's yours until proved otherwise. And don't turn your back.
Let go of me.
I want to borrow it for one night. That's all.
It belongs to Catherine.
Security for cash. You'll get it back in a couple of hours.
I won't, because it's not going anywhere.
Oh, come on, Gwenny. What's the matter with you? You're no fun anymore.
Oh, am I not?
Where is it? Gwenny.
friends. We're friends.
Don't ask, and I won't have to lie.
Well, I'm sorry.
So am I.
You said you'd be here by 7.
Yes, and I said I'm sorry. I've only just left Julius. It's awful. He's suing for divorce.
You know what Nan's like?
Yes.
Well, then, she's expecting us in 10 minutes.
I said Julius is suing Gwen for divorce.
I heard you.
For heaven's sake, Cora.
It seems there was an arrangement. She's not contesting it.
Whether she is or whether she isn't, whether there was an arrangement or not is beside the point. I'll have to go and see her.
Why?
What do you mean, why? Because she's on her own. She'll need a friend. If I don't go, who else will?
Does it matter?
It matters more than dinner with your family. There was a time you wanted me to be kind to her. Take her to the theatre, Jamie. No, no, Nanette. She'll love it.
That was when I didn't understand what she was like. Nan is right. She despises us.
She doesn't despise anyone.
Maybe not you, Jamie. Everybody knows everything. She's amused herself with us and our money, with all of us. She married Julius for what she could get out of him. She's never cared for any of us.
You're wrong. She cares for Julius very much. Not the rest of you, but why should she? You've never cared for her.
You don't begin to understand.
No, how could I? I'm not a Hallam.
Well, there you are. Anyway, games are over now. Catherine and Gwen have lost nothing. We've lost everything.
Aren't you forgetting that it was never yours to lose? And if Catherine had not settled out of court, you'd have lost your freedom, let alone your precious diamonds. I'm going to see Gwen.
It's not done, Jamie.
Not done by whom? The Hallams? Well, it is by me. Times are changing, Cora. It's not up to the likes of you to say what's done and what's not done anymore. It's not Gwen and Julius who've been playing games. At least they're honest with each other. Whatever your brother has done, he's always been honest. It's you and Constance, believing what you want to believe, manipulating the truth, playing games with everyone's lives. The cruelest was Thomas Thacker and Catherine. Just as you in your quiet, self-deprecating way play games with me.
I don't know what you mean.
Of course you do. The quiet little mouse in the background, choosing so carefully what to say and when to say it. You're as strong as steel, as strong as Constance.
Are you coming or not?
Are you marrying me or not? That's what I mean. That's the game you play. I'm tired of waiting for you, asking you to marry me, expecting the dates to be changed. As Daniel Schumann said, it's arrogance. Such arrogance, the arrogance of wealth. Having your own way. You run your household and your lives like you run your colonies. I didn't want us to be like Constance and Edward or Gwen and Julius, an arranged marriage. I wanted to marry for love.
Wanted? I see. And do you still want to marry for love now that we have no diamonds?
What is there to be so desperately afraid of? I'm going to Gwen's now. If you want to marry me, Cora, we will marry, as agreed, in April. But if you withdraw this time, I won't ask you again. I came straight over the moment I heard.
That was good of you.
I didn't think anyone else would.
Hardly. Constance always said I was a gold digger.
And are you?
Of course. Otherwise I'd be feeling terrible.
Oh.
It's not as bad as it sounds. He doesn't love me either. Never did. The only thing he loves is... Well, you know what he loves. That makes us pretty incompatible, wouldn't you say? Anyway, it'll soon be over. And it'll be good, Jamie, to be rid and free.
I'm sorry, Gwen.
I thought you might have loved me once.
No.
You're probably right then. But it felt like it, for one night.
You told me not to marry Cora.
For your sake, not mine.
Was it?
Not because I loved you. Oh, Jamie. It was for fun. Besides, did you take any notice? Not hell as like.
Marry for love, you said.
Yes.
That's what I'm doing. Marrying for love. Cora and I. April the 10th.
A Hallam without diamonds. I'm glad you're not a gold digger.
I'd better go.
Is she waiting?
She doesn't know I'm here. Will you be all right?
I think so. Jamie?
What?
I'd rather you stayed. I'm joking.
My regards to Julius, if you see him.
Love to Cora.
Cora, Jamie says you finally set the date.
April the 10th.
Come on.
What?
Bubbly.
Oh, no.
What?
No.
Oh, why not?
It's only 10 o'clock.
It's a celebration.
I couldn't, really.
You'd love it if you could, Cora. Just for once.
You have some.
Nah, I've gone off it now. You're such a no person to have for a sister.
We can't all say yes to everything.
Why not?
We'd have a world full of Gwens for a start.
Would that be so terrible?
Have you seen her lately?
A couple of days ago. She's leaving the house tomorrow.
And you're not going to say goodbye to her?
It didn't occur to me. No. Anyway, I think she's seeing Kathy later.
Oh. I was talking about her today.
Gwen? Who to?
The man at Keith's. They're readjusting the wedding ring. Jamie's grandmother's. It's tiny.
Why was he talking about Gwen?
Tiny, tiny. Oh, he looked up her account by mistake. C. Hallam, G. Hallam.
I didn't know she had an account there. What's she been buying?
Not buying anything. I only saw a glimpse of the order, but it looked as though she'd had a copy of the necklace made.
Whoa!
A memento, eh?
Yes, a memento of our marriage.
Identical boxes.
Yes.
Oh, how sweet, Gwenny. I thought you weren't leaving till tomorrow.
I'm not.
But you're all packed, dressed for a journey. Isn't Catherine coming later?
Yes. I'm returning the necklace to her. Well, it is hers.
No, you're not. You're going to give her the fake, aren't you?
Really? Oh, you're such a tit, Julius. Of course not.
And then disappear into the night. You were.
Was I?
Yes.
Rubbish. Oh, maybe.
And so what are you going to do now that I know?
Nothing.
Well, I'll stay with you till she gets here and make sure you do the decent thing. Champers?
No ollies tonight.
Share my glass. She wouldn't know a diamond from a lump of coke. I'll say nothing if you split the money with me. 50-50.
And leave the marriage with nothing?
Well, that was the arrangement. What time is she coming? You better put the fake away.
Across the earth, that fake.
Which is it?
All right. I'll tell you what. Which one, Julius? Left or right? Oh, you never could resist a gamble. You take one, I'll take the other. Then I'll walk straight out of the door, and you'll never see me again.
All right. I'll take the left.
Then this is mine.
Mm-hmm. Aren't you going to look?
No.
Oh, go on.
What could I do about it?
Well, nothing, but I'm dying to know.
So am I. Goodbye, Julius. I hope it's you.
I hope it's you. Gwenny? Don't leave me. You don't have to.
But she did. And unknown to both of them, she also carried within her the future Alice Elizabeth, true heir to the little that was left of the Hallam estate.
You're only a baby, you're lonely, and maybe someday soon you'll know. The tears you are tasting are years you are wasting. That's a bitter foe. With fate, it's no use competing. You and this so terribly fleeting.
In The Diamond Jousts, play two in John Peacock's Diamonds trilogy, Jonathan Firth played Julius, Tracy Ann Oberman, Gwen, Johan Meredith, Thomas, Shirley Dixon, Constance, and Deborah Berlin, Cora. Andrew Conlon played Jamie, Sean Baker, Johannes, Melanie Hudson, Catherine, Bert Caesar, Daniel, and Alex Lowe, Ollie. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The director was David Hunter.
Poor little rich girl, you're a bewitched a stranger, better take care.
And so, ultimately, what becomes of the Light Cape Diamond? We'll find out in the third and final play at the same time tomorrow.